came to Beis Din. Parties involved definitely need a kapora. Okay, so let's repeat the case. We have Reuven and Shimon both bidding for a property. And the bid has gone up that everyone's dropped out besides Reuven and Shimon. We've reached a stage where Reuven says that to Shimon, it's chaval, that we're both bidding and we're upping the bid. Let us go into partnerships together and I'll bid and I'll win the bid and we'll split it half up. So Shimon agreed and Reuven paid the 26, or made the bid for the 26 million, and it was accepted as he is the winner of the bid. Okay. Part of the deal was that Shimon has to now bring half the money within a week in order to pay off the bid. Reuven hasn't yet paid, he only has to pay within a week, and Shimon has to bring half the money, 13 million, in order to cover his chelik, his part.
And they both shook them in the property?
They both shook them in the property. One's what we call a real partner, a silent partner, another one is the working, active partner. Why did he have to do this? That's because, according to the laws of the mikras of the bids, you can't suddenly join up partnership in the middle of the bid, so therefore they had to do it in this fashion.
Also, this is the public bid?
Yes. Now, within that week, Reuven was approached by Goy to buy the bid. He said to you, I've heard you won the bid for 26 million. I'm prepared to give you 32 million. That's wonderful, Reuven said. I've made 6 million profit within a week.
You mean to buy the property?
Yeah. I'm buying it. So the guy gives him 32 million for the rights of the property. Shimon now comes to Reuven and says, very good. Baruch Hashem, you made profit, 6 million. Now that means 3 million for you, 3 million for me, because we're partners. Reuven turns around and says, at the end of the day, I won the bid. At the end of the day, you never actually was registered as being a partner in this, and therefore I've decided to back out of the deal. The whole deal's mine, and therefore all the profit is mine of 6 million.
Does Reuven agree, acknowledge they made this side deal?
Yes. There's no disagreement in the facts. Meister Joy Kako, it happens a bit. This is extra. Now, is Reuven correct? Or has Shimon got claim, we're partners, and you have to split the 6 million into two, and we've got Zofa for 3 million each?
Let me ask you a question. Reuven's the one that is the official bidder?
Yes, he's the official.
Did he make a down payment?
No. He only has to pay within a week.
He had to sign a chuzah. So there was a Kenyan.
Yes, a chuzah.
So the Kenyan was on behalf of both of them.
Yes.
So they are shuftim. He has a chelik in that property, not just the bid. So Reuven told something that's not his.
So you're saying that they're partners?
I'm saying the guy can even back out if he wants. Because he bought the Brooklyn Bridge.
What, the goy?
What, the Brooklyn Bridge?
Why?
He didn't buy it from the owner.
He was one of the owners.
One of his, not right.
That's I should have asked him to give it to the goy. Let's repeat the case for Yumi's sake.
Okay.
Yeah, Yumi's here. Welcome, Yumi. Reuven and Shimon are bidding for property.
But that's a grub as a result of you.
Reuven and Shimon are bidding for property. They're pushing up the bids. So Reuven comes and Shimon, let's make a deal. You stop bidding, I'll bid, we'll win it, and we'll split it together. That's what happens. He bids $26 million. He gets it. The deal was that he has to bring the $13 million within a week. Shimon has to bring his half within a week. in order to recover his chelik, and then that would be part of the deal. If he doesn't bring it, then he won't be a partner. Within that week, Reuven bumps into a goy, and goy says, I'm willing to buy the whole deal off you for $32 million. Reuven says, Veseda, fine. Reuven now has $6 million profits for doing nothing. Shimon says, we're partners, split the six into two, three. Reuven says, Lamaisa, I'm the owner, I get the $6 million.
It's not nice, but it's his money.
I disagree.
No Kenyan over here.
There is. That's what we're discussing. Because Reuven signed the Jose in order to be able to.
Is that called a Kenyan?
I think it is.
I think it's not.
Karka's Nick.
Jose with Kazaka. With Shimon.
Karka's Nick.
Shimon didn't sign anything.
It doesn't matter.
Who sold it?
The government sold it. The government sold it to Reuven.
And
Reuven signed the documents with the government.
Who sold it to the guy?
Reuven! Reuven bought the property from the government and sold it to the goy.
So
and Shimon is a silent partner.
But how does Shimon halachically fit into the picture?
He's a partner.
How?
He's saying
they have an agreement.
No, was there a contract or
no contract? Verbal agreements. I back out. Right. You win the bid on behalf of
Goy. Why is it any different than making a shaliach to pick up an abed on the floor?
It's not a shaliach. This is Reuven for
is it any
gave
difference?
Up. Reuven gave up the right. No, Shimon gave up the right to put in a bid in order to. That's the consideration.
So he's not a mensch. He's not a mensch.
No, not a mensch. He gave him consideration.
Sure. That's the illegal halacha.
There is a legal halacha.
It's not halacha kinyan.
The kinyan was when Reuven signed the contract with the city to get the property.
But Shimon didn't.
Reuven did it on behalf of Shimon.
Let me ask you a question. If Shimon walks away, who's stuck with the $26 million
contract?
He can sue Shimon for the 13 million.
He said back out of the bids. Then he wins the bids. Sure. He signs the contract.
Shimon agreed that he would do that.
Sorry, Mathis. A partner theoretically by paying within a week.
That means that no. The condition was is that if you don't bring the $13 million a week, then automatically you won't be the partner.
You're right, but you're totally wrong.
Right now we're partners, but you can destroy the deal by backing out.
Sorry, Mathis. I mean, I'll find that.
Let's start again.
No, we'll find out that you're right, because that's the only way it would be anti-climactic.
I'll now be able to say it in five words. The case says, Reuven and Shimon are bidding for a big property, $26 million. They're outbidding each other. Comes the guy, Reuven says, Shimon, let's you get out of the picture. I'll bid, win the property on behalf of both of us. Fine. Within the week after signing with the government, Reuven found a goy, and the goy said, I'll buy it for $32 million. $6 million profit. Shimon says, split it. Reuven says, no, the mice, I want it, all goes to me.
Why do I care if it's a guy? Do I care if it's a guy or it's a
no,
story?
No!
That happens to be the story.
That's the case in the basin. I don't want to change the facts.
I mean, there is one monkey wrench.
The basin case. There is $6 million.
There is one monkey wrench that could blow the whole thing. The whole transaction could be ghetto because they didn't stick to the conditions of the bidding. So they were maram of the city.
If that's mutter.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. It could be.
It's a mitzvah, actually.
Depends what city.
Okay, so let's start. It says in the Gemara in Kedushin, there's actually a Mishnah, number one, Homer lechavera, serve kaddishli isha plunis. Go and marry a woman for me. You're my shliach to marry a woman. But Holof mekinshla atzro, instead the shliach went and married a woman for himself, instead of the person who sent him. Says the halacha, mukadesh is the sheni. She is in fact married to the second guy, the shliach. Why? Says the Gemara, Masha also asu. He did it. Ella Shanova Minoramois. He is a rabbi, he's a trickster, he needs to have kapora on Yom Kippur, but he is Zotah. Is it similar to us or not similar to us?
No.
I told you to be a Shliach, you said you were going to be a Shliach, and at the end of the day you bought it for yourself. Masha also you did it for yourself?
He didn't buy it for himself. When he bought it, he had full intention to have Shimon Aram deal.
What?
It was only afterwards that the guy came to him.
So
he didn't buy it for himself. He
bought
it for himself.
Let's add a piece to the Din Torah. He claims.
Who claims?
Reuven.
Yeah.
That when he bought it, he was really buying it for himself.
Why?
All the time, all along.
Did he pay 20?
And he was going to sell Shimon.
Did he pay 26 million, or he gave 13, and he's waiting for Shimon's 13?
He gave no money. He just signed the contract.
So we do
the
have a dispute with that.
No, Shimon doesn't argue that. Shimon said, "I can't argue that. How do I know what's in his mind?"
Because why would he?
How do I know what's going in his mind?
Because he wanted it on his own.
No, because he said
he would have bought it on his own.
Reuven says, and Shimon agreed, this is what we spoke at. Reuven says that the Meister, when he went to buy it, he was buying it for himself.
Why? Why
should believe in him?
He knew that.
You said you're doing it for me. Can we go by that?
Maybe he meant I'm buying for myself.
The Mishnah says, I am going to marry this woman on behalf of you. And in the end of the day, he married himself.
This is a shitfus, not a shlichus.
Well, this is shlichus, but it doesn't matter. Here, nobody's disputing what he had intention. He said, Harayah Mekudesh is li, not Shimon.
Ah, very good. So let's look at number two. Number two says the Shulchan Aruch like this. If Korna Bistam was, if you buy the property with money, you use your money, you can say, I bought it for myself and not the person who sent me. That's only Bikaka Stam. That's only if it's Stam. I want you to buy something for me. But I say, go and buy this particular profit for me. This particular property. Hoyavun minagramois. Since it will be a Ramai to take it for yourself, we assume that you bought it for the person who sent you. Below your chulas, where you can't say afterwards that you did it for yourself.
That's not how he admits it.
That's not our case either.
So land is not the same
as you were appointed as an agent. And you went and bought it. Didn't say at the time you're buying it that you're buying for yourself. You just bought it without speaking out. And only after the fact you said, you know what? I was a rabbi. I was a trickster. And I bought it for myself. We say we don't believe that you were a rabbi. You definitely didn't make yourself into a rabbi. And you did your shlichus. And when you bought it for him.
But if you would have spoken out when you were buying it, I'm buying it.
But
just
that's
myself.
The same thing.
Yes, that's the difference between the case in Kedushin. We're saying, hurry up! The Kadesh is Lee, which clearly he's doing it for himself before the event. Whereas in our case, you're doing it Stam, and after the event, you're trying to say, I did it for myself.
Our case is not
the second case he bought for himself.
The agreement with the government is just for him. The government has no idea she was involved.
I did. And that's what he's supposed to do. He did tell us before he did the bid, you know what, I'm going to buy it only for myself. He didn't tell you.
But he's basically saying, what's the lesson on the first one? Kadesh, Kishkichal Aksim. He's basically telling the government, Kanel Li.
Which is supposed to, Li means Li and for him, because that's what Li means. That's what the deal was, because you have to be a silent partner and I have to be an active partner.
The second case, Matisio, is a shlichus.
You can speak to me.
I understand.
Our case is not a shlichus. I'm in it also. It's a partnership, it's not a shlichus.
But it's also shlichus?
Doing on behalf of the partner.
Is it shlichus as well?
I'm saying it's not like this case.
But is it also shlichus?
I have to repeat myself? It's not like our case.
I don't know. I don't know. It's loved after shlichus. Loved after shlichus, your case.
It's also shlichus.
It's loved after shlichus.
What, you're acting on behalf of me?
No, I'm not.
Partner,
I'm buying you to go and buy the property on behalf of both of us. For me and you.
I don't know this dinim, obviously, but is a shutif and a shlichus the same thing?
A shutif can be a shlich for the shutif.
It's not a stira.
Even in a civil war, a partner is a power of attorney for the partnership. That's how he binds the partnership.
Therefore, it appears that you can't say after the fact, you know what, I did it for myself. That's what it is. However, we've got a problem with a Rashba. Let's look at number three. So, Tim, I was asked what says the Rashba. Nogi ba'le chanvius kesherotzen liknes begotten. The minhag of the shops, when they wanted to buy the godzim garments, showing ksas koni mavushim niekulonu shutzimbo. You know what? We're going to buy it, and we'll all be partners in everything together. you don't buy it, we'll buy it and we'll be partners together. I'll buy it for everybody. If they're able to say afterwards, they can say no. After they bought the garments, they can say no, I was only joking. I really only did it for myself. I only told you that I was doing it for you in order to get you out of the way. You were interfering. I wanted you to get out of the way. I'll buy the garment really for myself. I said I was doing it for you, but I did it for myself. In order that you shouldn't take it.
Isn't that a stira? If it's nohagu, how could it be mashafani? If it's nohagu, how could it be mashafani?
No,
there's
no
good.
They're not going to buy it together.
That's their minhag to do that.
Yeah, the minhag, that's what they want to do.
I call mashafani is only when it's not standard practice.
But no, what's no good? They're no good to have this claim that they say, oh, we'll do it together. And one of them will do it on behalf of the other, yeah? And what happens after that? They often turn out that they say, no, I did it really for myself, and only did it in order to get you out of the picture.
Oh, that's the minute for
yes.
them to fight to each other?
Yes.
That's what happens in the Shmata business.
So that was the question asked
to
Rashba. Very similar to us, yes?
Yeah.
Teshuvah. You have to do teshuvah. That's tomorrow. But here's the answer. Shorah Satin. Yochu lekeach zeh litzchus chavero. He can say yes. You know what? Belomo came. Yeah, he's believed to say that I just bought it for myself. Elisha, no, but Miros. Yes, he is a trickster and he's a rabbi and he's to get a kapara on Yom Kippur. But he is believed to say that he bought it for himself. What's going on?
Wait a minute.
What's going on? How's this fitting in with the Shulchan Aruch, this Rashba?
I don't understand. The Pasuk says Yisrael means he's not a Minhag Maaretz.
Because Yisrael shouldn't do this. Well, how do you know Yisrael shouldn't do this? Because of the Pasuk.
It says they don't do it.
That's why right. they, yes. Therefore, he's doing it. It's called a rabbi.
No, so we should say that he really didn't have that in mind.
No, he doesn't have it. Shinobo Minhag Maaretz. Why? Why is it Ramoiz? Because the Pasuk says that Yisrael doesn't do this.
Did Reuven have the money to pay for it by himself?
Yes. What's going on? What's the difference between the case of the Shulchan Aruch where we say, because you're a rabbi, we assume that you didn't do it for yourself, you did it for your partner, because you won't want to be a rabbi.
Because it was the man.
And therefore you can't say afterwards, I did it myself. I did the Rashba, the Mishnah, which the Shulchan Aruch also brings. He says, well, the shopkeeper can say that he did it for himself, and even though he is a rabbi, but he can advise to say he did it for himself. What's the case? It's the same case for Shulchan Aruch. Magnus, the same case. Both cases, the Shulchan Aruch Paskas.
You can say from Kaplan in no way. To be honest, you can say it's no way.
No way.
Because it's the minute in that industry to be on my end, you say.
Maybe that's... I would say maybe that's the type of.
Yeah, but Shulchan Aruch used the same Rashba with Minhag Maaretz.
The Rashba, he's saying it beforehand. In the other case, he's saying it afterwards.
If Rashba doesn't say that, you're saying the Rashba, we have to talk about a case where the Rashba that he spoke it out. So why is a rabbi? He's a rabbi. Even though he spoke it out. Okay. You have to say the Rashba, even though he didn't tell us, the Rashba was talking about a case where he spoke out beforehand that he finds reason. That's what you're asking. That's not the answer, but you could say that.
The case of the Rashba, is it in fact that these are competitors?
Stam and Mewford.
Yes?
Okay, so then first case, you're a competitor.
They were competitors.
They were competitors.
They were bidding.
Yeah. Bidding, and the case of. Yeah.
Is there enough room between Stam and Mewchad? Like the second one, it's Stam Begadim, and if you said specific Begadim, it wouldn't work that way?
Also the Rashba, you could say that, but Rashba doesn't make Chilik. It doesn't say we're talking about Stam Begadim, not Miuchad. It doesn't say I spoke it out. Doesn't say, he doesn't tell us that there's a limitation to his halacha.
You know what the difference is?
Yes, he does.
I was speaking to you, you
know. I know I don't.
There's nothing that happened in this case between the time that he bought and the time that he said I was Mishafani Bach to make a difference. Whereas in our case, the guy made an offer between the time that he bought.
Very good difference in our, from our case, but doesn't the explain the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is not talking about that. That there's something happened in between.
Because it's well. Karkin Yukav, I see you bolded that out, so it must be an important factor here.
So, the Erech Shai, one of the big achronim of Basin. He says like this, it's very important, the Loshen and the Rashba. The Rashba says, why did he do this? Because we were fighting over the garments, and I did it in order to get you out of the way. That's the reason why I did it. Then we believe you. That since you were both chasing it together, and you went ahead and said, like, oh, don't worry, you get out of it, I'll do it on behalf of you. And you say afterwards, why did you do that? Oh, just to get out of the way, because he was interfering with me. Then we say, yes, we believe you. But the Shulchan Aruch case is not talking about a case where they're both competitors chasing after the like you said, chasing after competitors. We weren't talking about they were competitors. Talking about I was wanting to buy a property. You have no idea about the property I got up to. Could you go and buy this property for me? So fine, so you went ahead and bought it for yourself. You're not believed to say you bought it for yourself, because you didn't even know about it. You can't say the reason why you did it was to get him out of the way. You didn't even know about it in the first place. The first idea you knew that that property was being sold is me who appointed you as a shliach. So therefore, what's the difference? End of the day, both cases are ramos. So, the Erev Shai says a very profound thing about the business world. Some business practices in the business world is perceived, everyone understands that's really below the belt. Some business practices in the business world says that's fair game. So therefore, if we're both chasing it, and I say, get out of it, yeah, don't worry, you back out, I'm buying on behalf of both of us, and then I buy it for myself. That's called fair game. It's not perceived in the business world that I did something immoral in the business world.
But he's commended, he's applauded, well done, good trick.
Yeah, you're a real good business guy. That's why you made lots of millions. That's why you're going to lose lots of millions eventually. If you never knew about it, and I say, I'm employing you to go and buy it on behalf of me. That even in the business world, that's considered really below the belt, and therefore you wouldn't do it, and therefore
we don't believe you.
We don't believe you. You did such a thing.
That's the reason, though, is to be totally with the Amakom Mazman. Even different businesses have different standards. Like the Shmata business, that's why it's called the Shmata business. They're much dirtier people than other businesses.
You're right. It's limited. So what is our case comparable to? Our case is comparable to the Rashba, where it's above the belt in the business world, or it's comparable to the case of the Shulchan Aruch, where it's below the belt.
It seems above the belt. They're competitors, they're good strategy, get them out of the way.
Yes.
But he made a very good point before about the fact that this came after the fact, the guy would hurt his credibility.
What way?
Because now you have an objective fact that you can say it caused him to change his mind. Meaning, Moshe Chabal Barayah, show me that you really thought that way.
It's a good logic, but that wouldn't be able to win the Dintero based on that logic. It's a good story. You can add to any halakha, which is like, on top of that, there's Ruglai and the Dobber here, that's really the change of mind that happens later.
So why would we believe him?
We believe him because
he said he was doing it on his behalf.
Because he bought it in his name, and therefore we now have two ways to interpret this action. Why is the one should believe in him?
Because I said that I'm buying it on your behalf.
Not at the time of sale. Time of sale, he just bought it. Now did he back out? Did he not back out?
We believe in that he was a manipulator and a trickster and a liar.
He had no reason to.
So therefore, the Rashba says, yes, he's a rabbi for doing this. But in the business world, it's considered above board. So
why don't we say migu? Meaning, believe me that I'm lying. Meaning,
unless you have these logical. So according to what we're holding, Reuven will be Zosa to keep the 6 million, and Reuven have to split.
Boy, it's massive.
However, there's a very important Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan says like this. And this is Yirmi's point, that we have extra factor here. That here we're talking about partnership. When you were creating partnership and not death. The Oracle Shulchan number 5. So when you're creating partnership, it has a slightly different halacha. Ein yochol lasag amal abo. If you make an agreement, you can't back out of it. And we learn this from this, even though it's a verbal agreement, and we learn this from the minhag of businesses, she'omzim ha'kinyas eizem mecha, they go and they want to buy something, eizem malocha, or they want to get a job. B'neihem, so they mishtapfim b'neihem, they make a deal. She'echod yekapu eizem v'yitimachem, you know, I'll do it, and we'll all get it together. Eizem revach, we'll split it. So you calculate over Kabbalah to Isaac, and all to that, if we both fight, then we'll both lose. That deal is binding with just words. You can't back out of it. This is how you do shivas. Even though some people argue on it, that's a halacha. Okay, the minhag kavur bin asochim, that's the minhag to create partnerships with just verbal agreements. So here we have the Oracle Shulchan that says, the whole sugya we've been talking about is talking about where you're appointing him as a shliach. But if you're creating partners, since that's the minhag in this industry, that to create partnership with just words in this circumstances is considered a partnership. You have created a partnership. Once you've created a partnership, you can't just back out of it. You've already signed, so to speak, a contract. Reuben and Shimon speaking it is like a written contract between Reuben and Shimon. Like a written contract between Reuben and Shimon. If you've got a written contract, you can't now sign it back out afterwards. So also verbal contract. With plus this, even though people are mepaptic on the Oracle Shulchan, as the Oracle Shulchan himself says, some people argue, but now we can add your logic and say, since we've got the Oracle Shulchan that says that you're partners and you can't back out, even though some people would say argue on that, but here in this case we've got an extra idea in our hands that really we should believe him, that he backed out before the deal, and really what caused him to back out was the going after the deal when it's too late, because that's what really the scenario looks like to us. So we can add that to the Oracle Shulchan and Paskin that he has to split the profits, and that's the Pesach Halacha at the end of the day. They had to split the profits.
We're happy with the Pesach.
Now, in Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur, Choshen Mishpat. Let's say he didn't have to split the profits. Is he a nice guy, Reuven, for getting the 6 million?
No.
Is it Rabbi? Now, what can I have against him now? I can't get my money. What halakhic basis can I have now against him?
Taromus.
What is Taromus? Does anyone know what Taromus is? Basically, we'll say you can't get your money, Shimon, but you can have Taromus. What's Taromus?
If you're, maybe if you're tofus something from him?
No, Tzvis doesn't work. You can't get money. You're entitled to money. But you can have Taromus. What's Taromus?
You're not
mobile
when he asks
for
tshuva?
Yeah,
get his money back.
Taromus, Rabbeinu Yonah says, Taromus is somebody who says, it goes up to a person and says, you did something very wrong to me. I have had harder against you, and I'm not going to forgive you until you rectify what you did to me. What's that called? In another word.
Blackmail.
Not forgiving.
So what is that? What you're doing?
Kapara.
Bearing a grudge. So how, ask you a question, there's an issa deraisa in the Torah to take revenge and bear a grudge. How can Basin say a psak, you can't get money, but you can bear a grudge
because the taklis,
against the person?
Because the grudge has a taklis, which is to get money.
Ah. Let us see whether there's a heter to bear a grudge to get a tachlis. Can I have a grudge as a tachlis? So, the Rambam, which you haven't got over here, this discussion is discussed in the Gemara Yuma, the Kaf Beis, it's not here. And the Rambam says that a tamachacham is, if he is embarrassed, he has to bear a grouch. He has to bear a grouch. And if he doesn't, he's not a Talmud Chacham. So the Rambam explains why. Because when a Talmud Chacham is embarrassed, and it's done in public form, then you're not only embarrassing the Talmud Chacham, you're embarrassing the Torah. And therefore when the Talmud Chacham takes revenge or bear a grudge, he's doing it for a benefit to Ellis to defend the honor of the Torah. So here says the Mefarshim, Mashag, he says that here we see there's a hector of having a grudge against something for to Ellis. So who's in that case? Have a grudge against this person who did something wrong to you as a ta'elus to try and get the money, which really you should.
What was the ta'elus in the case of the Talafam's case?
That's to defend the honor of the Torah.
No, and get the person to retract.
Or even doesn't retract, to show to the rest of the world you can't do this to Torah, can't treat Torah like this. Now let me ask you a question like this. What happens if you, when you have this grudge, you have mixed feelings? You say, I'm doing this as a ta'elis, but I'm also doing this because he insulted me and I'm offended and I'm getting him back. If you have mixed feelings of ta'elis and, oh, I'm going to get him back, is it permitted or not?
But you're doing two different things.
It's
a shutzpah.
Mitzvah Baba Vera.
No, it's two different things. Because when I'm doing it to get something back, I'm not really taking revenge. Revenge means, by definition, I'm doing it because you did something to me. So if I'm doing it not because you did something to me, because I want to make myself whole, that's not revenge. Now, I'm doing two different things here. I want to make myself whole, and I'm taking revenge.
Yes, so is it permitted or not?
Well, the making yourself whole part is, and the revenge part is not.
So are you allowed to do it?
If it's one action, no.
No. So the Nesiva says you are.
Really?
Because the Nesiva says, we have Allah in Hilchos Aveda, which says that you're not allowed to use the object which you find. But if the object needs to be aired in order to look after, you're allowed to air it. Like a Sefer Torah, you have to roll it every 30 days. Can you read it at the same time as you're rolling it? And you, so use it at the same time as looking after it. Says the Gemara, yes, you're allowed to.
Reading it, you're not.
If it wouldn't be for a apostle, you're allowed to.
Reading it, but you're not doing it. You're allowed to.
You're using, not allowed to use an Aveda, even just reading.
If I have a book that I found, I'm allowed to read the cover. I don't have to. I'm not allowed to not look at it.
You're not allowed to have benefit from it.
I am. I'm allowed, as long as I'm not machzir.
No.
I'm not allowed to read the cover if I find it.
No.
I'm not allowed to read the cover, even if I don't touch it.
Gazlan.
Why?
Because
you gain benefit from something which you don't have permission to get benefit from.
What's wrong with getting benefit from something I don't have? I can't sit next to somebody's open window that has a light on to read a book.
I can't sit next to a guy with an air conditioner.
We'll get into discussion of that in another year. I haven't got time tonight. Certain things you are allowed to take liberty of. But things which can get ruined, or people may have hakodas on, maybe have hakodas, you're not allowed. So there, the serious things are right. If you have mixed kavanas, you have mixed kavanas, it's permitted. If you've got a permitted kavana and it's a kavana together, it's permitted. So it's in our case.
I understand this. Going to stop this guy, money.
Yes.
He's a rabbi, that's
better. What does rabbi mean? It means that really, we, the basin, can't bring his money back, and really, we don't have the power. God has not given us the power to get the money back. But it's in truth, the money should go to you.
Really? To be honest, did Shemayim, he owes him that money?
Yes.
Or he just committed an avera by being rabbi, but he doesn't owe him money?
Yes.
He owes him, he should pay.
Pay
it's not there for him not to pay the money?
To appease him. Not to appease him.
If he wants to do tshuva, he has to give back the money.
Yeah. Now,
this is worth it.
Now the Chofetz Chaim argues on the Nesivos. The Chofetz Chaim Av Chesed says, "No, you're not. No, you're not. And if you arrive on the Hilchos Shabbos, you're not allowed to close the door, which is going to trap a deer inside your house, even although you're doing it at the same time for Kavona to keep the colds and the Gnovim out. So you can't do one action, which is partly awesome, partly mutter." And said the Chofetz Chaim, "Halachically, unless you have 100% kavana for ta'elis, is awesome." So now we're back to square one, because who in the world can say that when he says, I've had taromas and I've fought against the guy, that I have 100% kavon only for ta'elas and not to take any revenge. Are we talking about malachim? If we're not talking about malachim, how can we do it?
In business, it's very common. People care about money. They don't. There are places where they'll care about ego, but there are places where ego doesn't matter. All they want is the money.
He's lost it in Torah. The only way he can get it back is by emotionally blackmailing him.
Right, the emotional blackmail. But people that do this all the time, it's
you have
it's
to
right
be a
back.
Very
no
for Basin on the Gemara to Paskin. You can just give a psak taromas. It should be telling you who are you talking to, who, which type of person you're dealing with. Right. So that's not going to help. So let's see what will help. So the one says like number six. Inyan hanakoma natira, taking revenge, bearing a grudge. Ready explains Chazal. Shudaba she'ein bochiyev moment. That's only when he's not obligated to pay to pay you anything. For example, he asked to borrow your kelim, and you say, no, I'm not going to lend you. And then afterwards you take revenge and say, oh, I'm not going to lend you other things either. That's not allowed. But dovash neschayv chaver momon. But if somebody owes you money, you go and benezikim, somebody, he damaged you. You don't have to just say, oh, forget it. I can't do anything because I'm not allowed to take revenge. Abu Yitzver, the Basin, Vishalim, you can go to Basin and pay, get him to pay, because of the Posit, Kasher, also Ken Yaslo. Because the Torah says you're allowed to go to Basin. So what's the Ramban saying? That in theory, I should say that somebody damaged you, you're not allowed to get that money back, because that's taking revenge.
You're allowed to take revenge, apparently.
And says the Ramban that you know what it is, revenge, and really it should be also, but we've got a pasuk that says you're allowed to go to Basin in order to get your money back, and it therefore allows you to do the revenge. So therefore, does it apply by us, this pasuk? Does it apply by us?
If Basin says, you know, encourages it, then yes.
Why? As far as Basin's concerned, the Ramban's talking about you lost money, you can get your money back by going to Basin. You came to Basin, Basin said you can't get your money back because that's the halakha. But you can have Torimus. How can you have Torimus now?
Did Basin give you a request?
Because the Dini Mamulus is not called Nakamah.
Oh, so you have to go to Basin in order to get this permission?
I think so. I want to
say you're limiting
this. Dini Mamulus is not called Nakamah. I want to limit this.
The Ramban says it is, because he says the only reason why it's mutter is because of the posuk. The posuk allows you to do the koma. But that's why it's called the koma.
Four basin allows you to do it. The posuk mentions basin.
Yes. It's for whatever basin.
So that's why you need basin.
So you're limiting that you can't have taromas unless you go to basin. But the Gemara says not like that. You can have taromas without going to basin. So, let us see the answer. So number seven, the Rambam says like this. Also, Otam Yus Achter I below Yitzvus. A person can't be somebody who's Achterius and not be appeased. He has to allow him to be appeased. And he has no Achteriotos. He has to say, okay, I forgive you. Because if somebody asks you for forgiveness, you have to give him Mechila. Even if he's caused you a great tzar, you have to give him a chila. In order that it should be over the issa or revenge. What's the implication of that, Rambam? Rambam says that you have to give him a chila when he asks for it, in order that you shouldn't be over the issa of taking revenge. What's the implication?
No, I think what he's saying is that you have to be mochel if the reason you're not being mochel is to take revenge.
No, he says you when somebody asks you mechila, you have to be mochel in order that you shouldn't be over the issa or revenge.
He doesn't say you have to be mochel. He says you shouldn't take revenge.
Yes. Yeah, they have to be mochel in order that it should be over.
But Heitzel of a Chatal Rabbi doesn't say
implicit in the Rambam, it's playing in your eyes. Implicity. It says over there that until he asks you mechila, there's no issa of nakoma.
What
does he ask you? Oh, what? He doesn't ask you mechila.
There's no issa of taking revenge until he asks you for forgiveness.
That's
Anytime?
What's the halakha mean? Should they turn the other cheek?
Yes.
Not a Jewish concept.
Why? The Ramban says you can go to the base and get your money back. Here we're talking about somebody who just embarrassed you. No, nothing to do with money. You can take revenge and bear a grudge until he asks you mechila. That seems to be the implicit meaning of the Rambam over here.
Well, no, you're not taking revenge or bearing grudge. We didn't even ask you mechila. You didn't say I'm not mechila for you. You didn't take. If you didn't ask mechila, there's no revenge you're doing.
What do you mean? I'm bearing a grudge. I'm saying this guy's.
No, you're not saying anything. You're not saying anything.
Don't we say Krish only every night? Will we forgive everyone for everything? Even if they didn't come to us?
It's a lie. Nobody forgives everybody for everything. People don't.
So what's going on? He's destroyed all the halakhas we learned tonight. So Rambam says, you know what? Somebody does something wrong to you, you can take revenge. What do you mean? We just learned you're never allowed to take revenge. Only you can go to base and maybe because of the Gezeiros HaKosim.
I don't see him saying the way you're interpreting it.
So there's another Rambam who answers. Number 8. He says there's a big difference, and this is important. There's no comparison. Somebody gets his money destroyed, or somebody who gets destroyed, physically abused. Somebody owes you money, and he pays, that's it. He doesn't need to ask mechila.
He doesn't need to ask mechila.
He stole your money, you give it back, he doesn't have to ask mechila. But he be given a smack. Even if you pay all the money in the world that you owe him, you don't get kapora. Until you get mechila. Until you ask mechila. If you steal money, just give it back. But if you damage one physically, you don't get mechila until you don't get kapora until after you paid and ask mechila. Why? What's the difference? What's the difference between stealing somebody's money and hitting that guy? Both you owe money. One, you give the money back. That's the end of the deal. The other, you give the money back, and you still have to ask for mechila. Why?
When you steal from the guy, it wasn't personal.
Yes.
You just wanted his money.
Okay.
Over here, you were pogging the person.
And therefore, I paid him back for the pagia.
But you didn't.
You owe me
$10 for it. It's a big deal.
Yes.
But you didn't uproot the pagia.
Why? No, you're getting good.
No, I just said it.
Yeah, I paid for Busha.
Because there's sinner. He's got to unsin the sinner. Money's not going to unsin. Well, try me. But money doesn't always unsin the sinner.
Very good, but not the exact words which I want. The muck of a potish. Anyone's got the muck of a potish here? The answer is that even if I pay for everything, that's not real payment for what you did. You haven't really compensated me totally for your actions. Because even if you've physically given me back the money, the bush and everything like this, as Yumi said, you have emotionally affected me, which will always stay with me, and you'll never be able to compensate that in monetary form. So you haven't really returned what you owe me by just giving money. Something really you can't estimate in value.
You could do the same thing with my mother also. I can break a family heirloom. And
okay.
You'll never be, I mean.
Okay, well, then it depends if you have.
But if you are, it's not immediate.
Yeah?
Smacking guy.
Yes. So therefore, since you, by giving the money back, you haven't got proper kapora, so of course, part of returning what you took is to ask mechila. So now we understand the other arm. Of course, there's no such thing as he's done something wrong, you're allowed to take revenge. But you're allowed to bear a grudge for Osman that he hasn't totally given you back everything he took. And that includes asking mechila in events where mechila is necessary, which means in the case where he's physically abused you. So you still haven't answered our question. Our question, he's taken no money from you, which you deserve. And all you have now, the basin says, bear a grudge. Why? I halakhically, I have no claim of money against this person, so how can I bear a grudge? If the only hetzer, as the Ramban and the Rambam are saying, is an order to get back something which you deserve, that money was taken away from you, and you need to get that back, so you're allowed to do it because of the Gezeiras of Kosev. But in this case, where there's no money which you deserve, halachically, so why are you allowed to bear a grudge?
That's what you said, really, in reality, is
that's Shemayim. That's Shemayim.
He looks
in the chapter. So therefore, he does deserve it. I deserve it. I deserve it here also. I just basically can't give it to you. I can't take it away from you. Give it to me. But reality, what should happen?
Who says this extension? We've seen in the Banarama in cases where you actually owed money. Halakhically owed money. So then, you're allowed to bear grudge in order to get that money back. But here you're saying that halakhi you don't deserve money. You're allowed to bear grudge because Shemaim. Where does this come from? This is din. So Rabbi Shal Salant, he says, that's Peshat.
That's what?
That is Peshat. Why? He says, that's the question. Why does the Mishnah say, or the Gemara, he says, that Basin says, you can't get money, but you can have Taromus. Why does it mention you can have Taromus? What's the point? It's not a halakhic thing. It's a physical thing. Of course you're going to have Taromus. Why is the Mishnah putting out that you can have Taromus? So Rav Shmuel Salant says, you know what? Because it's a Pesat Din. That Basin are saying, or the Halacha is saying, is that, yes, Basin can't get your money back, but you deserve that money, and in order to get that money back, you can have the Taromus to get that money back. As the Lashon of the Rav Shmuel Salant, you don't have it. He says, Kamosha Tzvias Monu Hudin, just like getting money back is a halacha which you're allowed to do. Api Mishnah to Torah Chai Vashon, Kamo Kain Tzvias Taromus, also Taromus, Gam Kain Hudin, in Shaili Yosalov Taromus Api Din. So he points out a very important halacha. That if you're allowed to have Taromus, because of a Pesach Din, and that allows you now to bear a grudge because of that Pesach halacha, but so if one day you decide to him, you know what, I'm mokel you. I forgive you. The next day you decide to retract and you say, you know what? I've changed my mind, I'm not mokel him, I'm still gonna bear a grudge against him. You're not now if you do that, you're over the issa of revenge and bearing grudge without their permission. Because just as once you've been mochel money which you deserve, no longer now you can claim it back. And if you do, it's gezel. So also, if you have an allowance of taromus, and you go ahead and mochel him, you give him up that allowance, halakhically out now. If you now go and have the next day taromus, you have no allowance to do that. And now, you're over the issa of bearing grudge.
Just to illustrate my point, when Basin says, you're allowed to have taromus. When he says he burns home at night before he goes to sleep, is that like
no.
No. Why?
Because whenever you have monetary claim against the person,
yeah,
that mechila at night doesn't cover monetary claims.
Why? It's the same as moving in the morning.
Well, no, but not to give up claims which I can physically impose on the person.
Feel Zachar tomorrow.
Look at Tzvil Zachar in the Tisa.
And he says that. And Hadar Saddam and all these things. I'm only mindful where I'm obligated to be mindful.
Oh, so it is a lie. What I'm saying is not actually.
No, it's what? Anything which I have no now.
The text says I'm being mindful everything. That's what the text says.
And what does your mind say?
That's what I'm saying. It's a lie. We don't really mean it.
What does your mind say?
Maybe the feelers that I'm trying to convince myself. Very mindful. I'm working on myself.
Okay.
Now let me ask you a question now.
Do it yourself.
Huh?
Let me ask you a question from the Rambam number 10. Okay, we've now answered that question. I'm going to ask you another question. Number 10. Ein tshuva lo yom kippur mechaprim. Tshuva on yom kippur doesn't mechaper, ela averish vein otan lemokim. Ein averish vein otan lemokim. Averish vein otan lechere, but averish you should do. Friends could go, chobas chaver, mekar, kalas chaver, you damage him, you curse him, ogozo, you steal. Until you compensate him.
This is
theory. And even if you give it back, you have to ask Mechila. What's the Rambam saying? That he stole money. Even if you give it back, you still have to ask Mechila, because it doesn't work until you've asked Mechila. What does it mean? Steer it to the previous Rambam. Rambam says that if you steal money, you just have to give the money back. When do you have to ask Mechila? If he hits you. compare the Rambam in Hilchos to Shuba. The other one's in Hilchos Chovo Mazik. Here's Hilchos to Shuba says that you have to ask Mechila. What's going on? Stira, Rambam.
One's Mazik and one's Gezel.
Rambam said in the previous case where it's Gezel, you just have to pay the money.
The previous case is Gnev and not Zela. Zela is a slap across the face.
Yeah, previous case.
Gnev and Zela are two different things, right?
Oh, Chovel as Chaver was always Mazik.
One's Gneva, one's Gzela. Gneva, I gotta give back the money.
Chovel as Chaver was
Shem, you just asked for Yom Kippur. It's a financial hazard. Then you don't have to.
Financial hazard.
Chovel means you injure him.
Okay.
Yeah, what does it say? I'm a Chovel Chaver. Apple P, you still have to be ask him to kill it, correct?
Oh, it's a ghetto.
Or you still
No, two different things.
Yeah.
Number eight is
okay,
two different
things. Okay, so the Bafashim asked is a question. Maybe that's one of them. Ask you another question. We just have a question, we'll answer. And that's it. Somebody, give me a scenario. You did something which normal people won't be upset with your actions. We've got a very particular sensitive person who is completely and utterly brugous with you now because of your action. And you really didn't do anything wrong, but he's the type of person that gets brugous over the little things. Yes? Are you mechuyev to ask him mechila?
Well, you didn't do anything wrong.
You are.
I did nothing wrong. Halachically, I did anything wrong. Nothing wrong. Everyone in the world doesn't consider this as anything wrong.
Let me repeat that.
Anything in the world doesn't consider this as anything wrong. He is a particular sensitive guy, and he gets sprigus over the...
He doesn't mean guy, though. He doesn't mean guy.
Does I have to ask Mechila?
Flowers, man. Flowers. Jewelry.
If you do something which won't hurt an old person, but this guy's got a real bone to break his bones, too bad. It's your fault. Meaning you have to be responsible for your action. You did an action. It's not his fault that he's...
Let's make the shine of it a better. This person who has a broikus against you and bearing a grudge, is he open a bayra for bearing a grudge?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Do you know what? Logically, I would say, you know what? I shouldn't actually ask forgiveness. I should actually go tell him off. You know what you're doing, Nisa? You got a bear grudge. You don't have to bear a grudge. So, everyone understands the Shaila here. So, the Sfas Emesah is like this. They've got Gemara and Yuma. And he says they've got proof from the Gemara and Yuma what the halach is. We had Rav Kia who came late to the shir of Rav. Rav's shir was giving a shir, Rav Kia came late, and Rav started the shir again. Because he came late. Then, Bar Kafra came in, later, and he started the shir again.
Is that what we did that start after this tonight?
Yeah. That's why I had to be very particular tonight. Rav Shimon Bar Revi came in, later, and he started the shir again. And then came in Rav Chanina. Rav Chanina came in, and Rav did not start the shir again.
Rav Chanina didn't know better, didn't know.
Rav Chanina came in the last, really late, and he didn't start the shir again. Rav Chanina was very boigus.
At who?
Of Rav, for not starting the shir again. You started for all these people.
Well, Rav is a Rebbe.
Yeah, why didn't you start for me? So, Rav, because he was boigus, every year, every Yom Kippur would go to Rav Chanina and say, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Please forgive me for my actions. forgive me. Rav Shimas, why is Rav saying sorry? Rav Chanina should say sorry for coming late for this year. Rav, he was a tzaddik for starting this year four times again. And then Rav Chanina, that's too much Rav Chanina, so late. He has to say sorry to him. And here we see, says the Sfas Emes, that even though somebody's broigus with you, you're mechuyev to ask Mechila. You first ask Mechila, even though he doesn't deserve to be broigus with you. You have no right to be broigus, you're still mechuyev to ask Mechila. Where does this halacha come from? Where does the Gemara, where does it come from? What's the source of such? Where did Rav get it from? Okay, that's where Rav's pastons, but where did he get it from? Where does it come from? Somebody bears a grudge, where I have no right to bear a grudge, I have to ask Mechila.
Hmm?
Where did he get it from? So the Tzur Or HaChaim says like this. Number 12. Yitzen kol odom el libo be'erev Yom Kippur. Everyone should have in their heart erev Yom Kippur. Lefayas kol mi sheposha connector. To, in order to appease everybody who's upset about him. Why? Aveh's been odom lemokum Yom Kippur machapir. Obein odom lechaveh ein Yom Kippur machapir. Ad shefayasu. Until you get appeasement. But also came, why do you do this? Why do you do this? What would be the answer if you know I asked you? Why do you do this? Why do you ask for forgiveness? Yom Kippur, why?
You should have you can't get a kapara without the cure of the person you...
Yeah, because I've done something wrong to him. So of course I have to ask for forgiveness. It doesn't say that. Why do this? Kadei shei leib kol yisrael sholom kol echadim chaveru. In order that it should be solemn with everyone in Klal Yisrael. Le'yemokim le'sotim le'kitriz aleihem. In order that Sotim will have no excuses against them. As we say in Perek Tezvot Bepirkei to Rabbi Lezer. Rol samo shalo nitza chet b'yisrael b'yom kippur. The Sotim saw that there was no sin in Klal Yisrael on Yom Kippur. Ve'omer Rabbeinu Olam. The Sotim himself said to Hashem. Yesh locha am echad be'eret kamar ki yashoris. You know there's a nation in the world like Malachim. Ma Machi Yisrael is Sholem B'deim, just as Machi Yisrael is, there's complete and utter peace between them. Kach Yisrael, Yom Kippur, but also Yom Kippur, well, Yisrael has peace between them. So from here we have a source to Rav. Rav, if you see in the Gemara, never went to say sorry the whole year round. There's no chiv to say sorry the whole year round. The chiv to say sorry is only Erev Yom Kippur. Because at Erev Yom Kippur, there's an Indian to have Shalom Bein Am Yisrael. Even if there's no reason why he should be a grudge, but I have to create Shalom in order that the Sultan shouldn't have titles against me. That is not a din in Mechila. It's a din in Yom Kippur. That I need to have Shalom even has no right to have a bear grudge against me. Therefore we understand the Rambam. When the Chav Olam Mazik, he says, in order to get your kapara all year round, you just need to pay money. You don't have to ask forgiveness. Just pay the money. But in Hilchos Teshuvah, when we're talking about Erev Yom Kippur, there he says you have to ask mechila from the person, even for monetary issues. Because that's the din in Yom Kippur, that you have to have Shalom Bein Klal Yisrael, even if there's no reason that they should be fighting in the first place.
So you mean, they're not going to be trying this aveira from Yom Shemayim,
no.
But Yom Kippur,
Yom Kippur, you need to actually have Sechus of Shalom in Klal Yisrael. Now how do you do this? How do you do this? Tell me an example of how to do this.
I'm not going to be here tomorrow, so if you have anything you have to ask me, you can email me.
How do you do this? So the Chazal bring down, and this is what we're finishing, the Maisa with Shmuel HaNaggit.
Who?
Shmuel HaNaggit. He was going out with the king, the Goyish king, in a walk, and suddenly an Arab came up to him and started cursing with Shmuel HaNaggit in front of the king. So the king, who's a good friend of Shmuel, says, "No, I want you to cut out his tongue. It's not respectful." So Shmuel said, "Fine." A few years later, the king was walking out with Shmuel HaNaggit again, and the same Arab came up and started giving brothers to Shmuel HaNaggit. The king turned to Shmuel HaNaggit, very angry. "What's going on here? I told you, this guy, I remember him. You should cut out his tongue. You haven't cut out his tongue." So Shmuel HaNaggit answered, "I did cut out his tongue. After you left, I gave him, sent him lots of presents, lots of matanas. I made him lots of kibbutz. You know what? I took away his bad tongue and I replaced it with a good tongue. It's a different tongue. I cut out his old tongue and I replaced it with his good tongue." And that's how you can approach people with people you have problems or achlokas or it's not right, I'm right, right. No, you have a sense, you know, I'm going to change him around. We're going to make Sodom Ben Yisrael. We're going to make the Sotan not have titles against us. And we should all therefore be Zofa on Yom Kippur, the Gemach HaSimah Tova, be Zofa to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, should say to us, Mocholach, Mocholach, Mocholach.
Amen. Amen.
Mitzvah Shem next year will be Cheshvan.